Amen. Hallelujah. This morning we know today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Happy Easter. Amen. That's what this day is all about. Amen. It's not about Cadbury bunnies. Right? Or the Easter egg hunts are a lot of fun. But that's not the main focus of the day. Amen. The main focus is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the empty tomb. Amen? And we understand that not even death could hold Jesus Christ down. Today we celebrate the defeat of sin. Hello? Jesus' death and resurrection brings victory over that which would otherwise bring destruction. Today we celebrate the truth that Jesus is alive, that He is exalted to the right hand of the Father, and Jesus gives life, He gives hope, He gives peace, He gives meaning, purpose, joy, comfort, and salvation to all who call on His name. And as the opening video of the service today made clear, darkness was shrouding the land. But light broke through, praise God, forever changing this world through the deliverance and redemption of our souls. Easter is all about new life in Jesus. As mentioned before, Christ gave all so that we could live. Amen? Today marks the conclusion of the sermon series that we have been looking at called Resurrection. And throughout the last several weeks leading up to Easter Sunday, we have looked at the resurrecting power of our God throughout the Scriptures. We looked back at Genesis. We looked back to the story of creation. And we examined the original sin, if you will, where the universal sin problem came into existence when Adam and Eve broke the command of God. And God had made it clear to His creation that if you disobey the command to not eat of a certain tree, that you will surely die. He made this very clear to those within the garden, yet under the influence of the enemy. They disobeyed the Lord, and sin entered our existence. But also in that moment, we see God begin to lay out the details of His redemptive plan. You see, God could have left us in that position of sin. But from that moment, He began to foreshadow that there would soon come a Redeemer that would break the grip of all sin forever. Hallelujah. We looked at how God desires to breathe new life into desperate and broken and spiritually dry situations. We looked at the valley of dry bones, remember? And how, again, this was a picture of death, a picture of destruction, a picture of lifeless, hopeless nothing. And through that story, we see how God is able to bring new connection through His Word, how God is able to breathe new life into that which was thought lifeless. Church, listen to me. I'm thankful today that my hope is not set in something of this world that is temporary or that has the potential to break down. My hope is in the One who has never let me down, who is, who was, and listen, who is to come. He is our God. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing, and He is able to breathe life into what we might think as dead situations. Man, we're just going to re-preach the whole series this morning, if that's all right. We then looked at how Jesus called us from a place of death to new life. He called us to come out of the grave. We looked at the story of Lazarus and how Lazarus, as he walked out of the grave, the old sin life, we did the illustration, is now left behind, and we embrace new life in Jesus Christ. We looked at how, through the grace of God, Jesus looks to move us from a position of denial to a position of overcomer. We looked at the story of Peter and how he denied Jesus three times as he was on trial. But then after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus then reinstates Peter into a position of ministry. And we gave God thanks for His grace and for His ability to restore us in that way. And last week, we looked at how Jesus set the sinner free while taking the burden of sin upon His own shoulders. We looked at the character of Barabbas in the situation of the trial, and we remembered that there is no resurrection without death. And it is here we pick up the story. There is no celebration today without the events that took place in history 3 days prior. Jesus' life was given upon the cross in place of ours, church. Sin comes with a very heavy price, and Jesus was the only one able to pay this price in full. And as we just sang about, Jesus paid it all. We witnessed the most beautiful of exchanges take place, as Barabbas, a murderous sinner, was set free while Jesus was punished. And Jesus dies on the cross and was laid in the tomb, and the people had thought it was all over. But in all reality, as we have mentioned before, Jesus was just getting started. Praise God. Now, I want to ask a quick question as we continue to move forward this morning. Have you ever gone to look for something or to get something that you really needed only to find out that it was missing? Have you ever lost your keys? Hello? Just Donna and I guess? Have you ever lost something and you go looking for it? Or if you're like me, you go into a room and you forget, why did I even come here? What was I doing? Anybody ever been there? I lost the thought? Hello? With our four kiddos, it never fails, and I'll tell on him. Sammy's usually the worst about it, but he'll come walking in and he'll say, "Mama, where are my shoes?" And Christy's normal response is probably where you took them off or left them last, right? And no, I already looked there. And I mean, you can have an argument with this little guy until you're blue in the face, and then suddenly he'll come in, "Guess what, Mom? I found my shoes. Where were they?" "Where I took them off last." That's Sammy. But we know what it feels like. It's kind of unnerving. You go where you had thought you left the item and it's gone. How about this? Have you ever had something taken from you? Experiencing theft is never a good thing, right? How many know what I'm talking about? How many have had something taken from you? In years past, I've had two vehicles that were broken. Items that belonged to me were nowhere to be found, and the only thing left was just a trail of damage. Now, I want us to take those emotions, take those feelings for just a second, and imagine for a moment what it must have felt like when it was discovered that Jesus was missing. If you look at John chapter 20, verse 1, if you turn with me in your Bibles there, John chapter 20 and verse 1, we see the story play out. It says, early on the first day of the week, While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." It's clear from this story that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, and it was all but certain that when you go to visit someone's grave, you expect their body to still be at rest, but in this case, Jesus was missing. Come on. And it isn't long before the truth of the matter is revealed. Jesus was no longer to be found within the tomb, because you don't go looking for the living among the dead. We see this proclamation made in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5. God, in a sense, church, had robbed the grave through defeating the grave. Jesus was no longer there. Death did not have mastery over him, but Jesus had conquered death in the most remarkable way. And his is the only tomb in history to be borrowed instead of permanently occupied, because Jesus conquered death. Now listen to me. Death had taken place. But the world had just seen something new. Death couldn't hold its grip on Jesus. And in Jesus, listen to me, in Jesus, death cannot keep its grip on you. Because Jesus died and rose again, so we too can also rise in Him. And here's the best part. What Jesus has done can never be undone. What do I mean by that? Listen to me. I imagine the enemy was having just one great day of celebration the minute Jesus said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and breathed his last. I can only imagine that the enemy and his demons in this crowd was just, "Yeah, got him." God only thought that this guy was going to be the answer. "Oh, man, we've got it. We've got it. We've got it. We've got it." Can you imagine his disappointment? Amen? When Jesus come walking out of that grave. Satan may have thought he won the day when Jesus said those words, "It is finished," but Jesus was only getting started. Listen to me, church. Jesus is inviting all of us to rise with Him, to rise from a position of death to a position of new life. Now, I want you to watch this. Not only did God rob the grave of His Son, Jesus, but God desires to rob the grave of each and every one of us. How so? John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What does that mean, church? It means that yes, one day this physical body is going to break down. Yes, one day this physical body is not going to be able to sustain my life. But I also know that on that day, my soul will spend eternity with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because He lives today. Because He conquered sin and He conquered the grave. Hallelujah. It's life after death. That's what resurrection is all about, and we can experience new life in Christ while here on earth through the forgiveness of our sins, and we can experience new life in Him after we take our last breath. Eternity with Jesus awaits those who call upon His name. You see, here's the story. God saw our brokenness, church, our brokenness, and He gave His best so that we too can rise again. But it's only in Jesus that we can experience such resurrecting power. You see, where death is, resurrection can be. The sad reality is, church, this morning, we understand this, that death is everywhere. Death is inevitable, and death is the wage of sin, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And because all have sinned and fall short of God's glory in Romans 3:23, death is something everyone is aware of. And we know the situation. Sin brings destruction to life, and that was the enemy's intent. The enemy in the Garden of Eden wasn't trying to show Adam and Eve anything that God was trying to withhold from them. See, that's one of the greatest deceptions the enemy will try to plant into our minds, that God is withholding something good from us. And if you look at the story, and I'll paraphrase out of Genesis here, as the serpent comes on the scene, he is showing this fruit to Eve, and she's looking at it, and he's twisting the words of God. He says, God didn't say that you'll surely die. He simply knows that if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened. So through this act of deception, he is trying to entice Adam and Eve to experience something that God is trying to withhold from them. Can I tell you something right now? The only thing that God is trying to withhold from you is death. God wants nothing more for you than eternal life through Jesus Christ as Lord, or our Lord. How do I know that? Because his heart is revealed in 2 Peter 3:9 that says God desires that none should perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's the heart of God for you today, and that's why he sent his son. But sin brings destruction. And the enemy, listen to me, wants to try to rob you of life through sin. He makes it look good. He makes it look enticing. He deceives our culture and twists the truth so that sin looks attractive while downplaying its nasty effect. And what is the end result? We find ourselves missing something. We keep looking for it, but no matter how hard we try, it just seems like we keep missing something. What is it that we are looking for? What is it that seems to be missing in our lives? I would suggest wholeness, as sin has left us broken and in desperate need of complete spiritual healing. You see, living in this state of being is like living in the tomb. There is no life. There is no hope. There is no escape. A person can try with all their might, but the stone is too heavy, too massive to be moved on our own. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? We are trapped, we are confined, we are taken captive by our condition, our fallen and broken condition. And some might ask, where is the hope? Are we destined to remain in the tomb in a position of captivity? Are we to walk this life in emptiness and in brokenness? Will we ever find what it is that we are looking for? Our answer today is in Jesus.
I know what you're feeling. You feel weak, like your fears and struggles will never end. I know it hurts when you're alone. I feel it too. Even if others don't see your worth, for you, I was willing to die. I love you. You long to be different and want to prove yourself to meet everyone's expectations. But only a few people know the real you, the pain you hide. How much longer? I know that you are tired of living like this, and I am here for you. Your regrets, your fears, your sin, your self-hatred. Give me everything, and I'll carry it for you. I want to see you smile and move past your struggles. And with me, you will. I am with you. I am Jesus. I died and rose again so that your life could be changed.
He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he die, church? He died to heal our brokenness. Why did he rise again so we could rise with him? Jesus has overcome sin, death, and the grave, and he did it all for you so we could find what we are looking for. So I want us to understand that where death was, resurrection is today. What is it that we are looking for? New life, new purpose, new direction. We desire to be made whole again. The problem is we've been looking for wholeness in all the wrong places. There's a common phrase heard in our house, again, as we talked about this a moment ago. When one of our kids has lost something, look where you last had it. Funny enough, more often than not, that's exactly where the lost items are found. But with spiritual wholeness, we have equated feeling whole with the wrong stuff. Nothing of this world. Hear me this morning, church. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this one point right here. Nothing of this world can make us whole again. Sin brought on the brokenness, meaning redemption is necessary to be made whole again. Where it is that we need to look for this spiritual transformation is in the one who gave his life so that we can be redeemed. To experience this redemption, we must take or make the choice to leave our old self behind in the past and embrace new life in Jesus. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 as we talk about where resurrection was, or where death was, resurrection is. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 makes clear, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. What is this telling us this morning? That if we desire to be made whole again, then we must choose to die to sin and come alive in Jesus Christ. And this death to sin, if you will, happens when we surrender our life to Jesus. This requires that we first acknowledge our sin and then secondly acknowledge our need for a Savior. And as made clear in this text this morning, church, there is nothing we can do on our own to be made righteous. If that were the case, then Jesus' work on the cross was done in vain. We need Jesus. We are crucified with Christ. We die to sin. We leave it at the cross. Our old self is done away with, but we are not left in the state of death. We rise again in Jesus. And it is no longer I that live. My old self is now gone, but Christ who now lives in me as he pours his new life in. His body was broken so we could be made whole. He took our brokenness to the cross, not just a part, but every bit of it. He shed his blood as the payment for our sins, not just a few of our sins, but every single one of them. Our sin debt has been fully satisfied. It is in Jesus alone that we can find this kind of wholeness again. In Christ, we find new life, we find new hope and new peace. Where death once was, resurrection can be. And so I ask you this morning, will you choose to find new life in Him today? Easter is much more than candy and eggs. It's fun, right? During Sunday school, watching out the windows as the eggs were getting hidden in the grass and just anticipating the laughter and watching the kids go and find the prizes, right? It's fun. But the greatest prize you can find today is Jesus. Amen. Amen. The greatest gift we can receive is that of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Church, listen, the resurrection changed it all. He died for our sins and was placed in a tomb, but it wasn't until the third day that the world realized that Jesus conquered sin, death, and the grave. Conquered sin, death, and the grave. Overpowered sin, death, and the grave. And in Christ, we too can become more than conquerors, according to Romans 8:37. Overcomers of this world and sin, made whole again in resurrection with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I ask, do you desire to overcome brokenness today? If I can get some help on the keyboard this morning from our worship team. Do you desire to overcome brokenness today? Do you desire to be made whole again? Are you looking for purpose? Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for healing? Are you looking for peace? But it just seems like you can't find it anywhere. then I encourage you this morning to stop looking within and begin to look up. Look to the one who gave his life for you so you could experience new life in him through his death and resurrection. Jesus truly paid it all. Amen? Jesus paid it all. The grave couldn't hold him. And because of what Christ did, the world will never be the same.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He died to change our lives. Jesus died so that you could be made whole again, so that the brokenness could be healed. Yes. And I'm thankful for that healing today.
Amen.
Amen. And not only is it just a one-time instance that we experience in life, but it is an ongoing healing.
Yes, amen.
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 I've been serving Jesus since I was 13 years old. And he transformed my life in ways I could never have even begun to imagine. But I'm thankful that it didn't stop there.
Amen.
You pray the prayer. Amen. And you experience that new life, but it's not something you just experience in that moment. It is something that you experience every single day. I wish I could promise to you today that after you give your heart to Jesus, that everything just becomes rainbows and ponies and, you know, life just becomes this frolic through the prairie, right? What other kind of thing, you know? How many know what I'm talking about? That's not the promise. Here's the promise. The promise is new life. Yeah, we're going to experience days of hardship. We're going to experience days where we look at the situations and we wonder, how is it that I go on any further? Well, it's in Jesus that we continue to go on further as he continues to pour in us daily his grace, his mercies, his love. Amen? He desires for every single one of us to experience new life in him. But in order for that to become reality today, then we must, as the words made clear in Galatians 2, be crucified with Christ. Come to the point where I no longer live, but it's Christ that now lives within me. This morning I want to invite us to find what we've been looking for in the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place, as we've talked about God's resurrecting powers, we've talked about new life that we can find in Jesus, as we've talked about looking for wholeness. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around today. This is between you and Jesus. But I wonder today, who in this room would say with an uplifted hand that there's a brokenness within? There's a struggle that's been going on, and you don't know where to turn, but you know what I'm talking about. Today, maybe you're experiencing a struggle, you're experiencing a brokenness, and you would say with an uplifted hand, Pastor, yeah, that's me. Would you raise your hand? Several hands. Anybody else today? Several hands today. Healing is found in Jesus Christ today. If you raised your hand just a moment ago, just right where you're at, here's what I want you to do. You can identify that which is broken inside. What I want you to do right where you're at, I want you to give that brokenness to Jesus. I want you to speak it out by name. I want you to speak out that area. Maybe it's emotional healing. Maybe it's a healing that needs to take place in your family. Maybe it's a spiritual stronghold. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know what it is this morning. This is between you and God, and I want it to remain there, but listen to me. Wholeness is found when we surrender that thing to God. today. Amen? And we acknowledge our need for a Savior. So just right where you're at, I want you to pray for God to bring healing to that situation. And I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, right now, you saw the hands, God, that went up, and you hear the hearts right now that are crying out to you. God, you know what this brokenness feels like. And God, we're not going to look to anything in this world to try to find healing or meaning to this thing. God, we're going to look to you right now for healing. We know that your Son was given so that we could be made new again, so that we could experience wholeness again, so that we could have new life. So God, we lay these things at your feet. We give you our entire life, every part, every aspect of who we are, we surrender to you right now. And we give you our heart, we give you our lives today. We crucify that old self right now and rise with you. Father, I pray that you would just pour in your resurrecting power in every one of these situations represented here today. God, that new life would be experienced. God, that when they leave from this place today, God, that there would be a new sense of hope. God, that there would be a new sense of peace. God, that there would be a new sense that everything's going to be okay. That this brokenness has been healed in Jesus' name. And God, that they would walk in victory. God, that they would walk in freedom. God, that the captivity would be broken, that the bondage would be loosed today in Jesus' name. That we would rise with you today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.